and in fact, I don't have the same credibility simply because I'm not as well known. I don't maybe have the same background in politics or whatever the reasons are, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have the same wherewithal, if you will. But I must tell you, Ralph Nader does command this kind of control and this kind of influence. Ralph Nader is and always has been highly respected in America, even in his early days. What he did in his earliest part of his career was go after criminal corporations for producing dangerous products that were killing the public. He's most famous for coming out against an automobile made by General Motors that was killing people upon impact of any kind of accident. They were dying, burning up in fires, and when Ralph Nader brought this to the attention of the consumer protection part of the United States government, he was pushed aside. Well, his consumer union pushed very hard at forcing the government to change its regulations and forcing General Motors to get rid of this death trap of an automobile. This put him right in the center of the storm, if you will, and he was able, through that work, to see just how corrupt and how controlled and how corporatized and how one-sided the activities of the American government can be and are when it comes to fairness to the public. Now, you know, these people in control often feed off of the mass population. They feed off of us. You can see them feeding off the South African population by sending people into the mining industry where you die at 45 or 50 from lung disease and from problems. They don't give you health benefits and you get dangerous in work environment, poor wages, and then most of the profits and most of the money that is extracted from South African mines is spirited immediately out of the country to benefit a small group of investment bankers worldwide or individual holders of the preferred stock of these mines. You'll find the same kind of thing happening in the larger corporations in the United States. You'll find this kind of thing happening in all the banks of the Western world and in the developing world. You'll find it in the control of the IMF and the World Bank over small developing countries when they go in and use their usury to force the country into giving sweetheart deals of repayment to these same criminals, or else turning over their entire wealth of the nation to the IMF World Bank if they can't pay back, which has happened repeatedly in history. So these kinds of things are the kinds of things that Ralph Nader has fought for, and I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that when you have a man who has been so well received by the public, you would expect him to have been well received in the election cycle. But what we've discovered is another element of this control system that has been in place for many, 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 many decades, probably going back as far as the 1920s, but certainly through the 1950s till the present day, where the media will not give a fair assessment of candidates when they run for office. They just absolutely refuse to give a fair reading to the people who run for office, nor do they give the kind of access you would expect or the kind of analysis of people's stands on the issues. What they do instead is they get told which candidate to back, and then everybody swarms that candidate and pushes and pushes until the public sees that individual candidate as the only alternative for the electorate. That happened with Barack Obama. He was an unknown quantity until people like Pritzker and people like Crown and Brofman and even Zinigdev Brzezinski and Soros and these others started piling into his coffers, and he had unfettered access to the press. He was given sweetheart deals with his nobody investigating the picadillos and the problems in his past. And as a result of that, this man did a waltz right into the leadership of this Democrat Party. And then, of course, the person they put up against him was an albino dwarf who turns out to be the most odious of candidates. I mean, this guy John McCain is odious. If you take a look at him, he's despised by Vietnam vets almost roundly. People don't think that he was in any way a hero if they spent any time in Vietnam. But worse than that, his family has connections to the Zionist mafia through the Seagram's fortune. And this is a man who, when he returned from his incarceration in Vietnam, got rid of a wife who had an accident in an automobile and just cut her adrift because she was damaged goods. Many people are not aware of the character of John McCain, but once you start looking under the surface, what you find is the most odious and most horrendous of characters, and anything but a patriot of the United States. Now, his father was instrumental in the cover-up of the USS Liberty attack by the Israeli military. Yes, Admiral McCain helped put the all quiet on anybody speaking out. In fact, the McCain's position in the military, he used it to threaten the sailors of the Liberty with court-martial and imprisonment if they spoke out about what the Israelis did to the USS Liberty. That didn't deter some people on the Liberty, and many people like James Ennis and Captain Boston and so many others who went through this, and even Admiral Kidd, who went along with John McCain, was disgusted with the decisions, but Admiral Moore came out and said it was a crime against the United States, an act of war, and yet John McCain's father swept it under the rug, and this is the man that John McCain says is his mentor, his father. Who would want to follow somebody like that? And in fact, machine politics have kept this man McCain in office in Arizona. So what you find across the country is unfair access, the media in the pockets of these criminals, clearly, through ownership, through intimidation, through putting in their own people to do the reporting from this Zionist community. But even more than that, the American government has now stooped to actually buying false reporting. They spent billions of dollars on paying off journalists to write favorable reports about what's going on in the country and put in favorable reports about policies that what they want to put in. And the end result, ladies and gentlemen, was the destruction of our system. So what we're looking forward to now is Mr. Nader. I hope that we have him coming up any moment now.
Get another highlight on CII.
Ralph Nader is a consumer advocate, a lawyer, author, and has been named by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential Americans in the 20th century.
This is not entertainment radio.
Daryl Bradford Smith speaks to Ralph Nader live exclusively to CII between 7:30 and 8 o'clock tonight.
Live on CII.
It's nothing but the best
on CII.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from that little break that we took there to get some information from my engineer. He is making the call back to Ralph Nader. He is very, very detailed about the times he can do. He has a lot of people requesting information and requesting interviews with him. So it is sometimes difficult for him to do any more or any less than he is able to commit to. He's given us 20 minutes today, and we're about 2 minutes away from him coming on board with us. The call is going out to Washington, D.C. right now as we speak. I'm going to try to get as much information as many questions into Mr. Nader as I possibly can in that 20 minutes, so stand by. I am hoping that he will be able to go through at least three or four important points that I have decided I'd like to talk with him about. One of them, ladies and gentlemen, is the financial debacle we find ourselves in and how this whole bailout thing has gone on Wall Street, because this is an important part of this controlling group's plan, is to bankrupt the United States and to use their influence to profit from this bankruptcy. And that's what they've done here by bailing out their own friends with $700 billion here and another billion, $100 billion there. It's actually turned out to be trillions of dollars that has been spirited out of America into the hands of these bankers. So the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, is that the kinds of sums that we're talking about here are even beyond anybody's ability to do the math on. I mean, how many zeros, can you answer for yourself how many zeros there are in a trillion? Well, think about that in dollar bills and think about how high a pile you could make with that much money. It's almost obscene. And the fact is how they've been able to use Wall Street to manipulate the value of the dollar through shorts, through put and call options, through manipulation by these investment firms such as Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, and even Canadian organizations, and through the N.M. Rothschild Group, and through the manipulation of gold by keeping gold artificially and unrealistically low in price, which, again, ladies and gentlemen, certainly hurts the economy of South Africa and many other nations. But also honest investors who believe gold should be reflecting an honest price, which it hasn't done for decades. You know, these prices they've kept on gold were kept there so that they could artificially and erroneously give you the impression that the currency was stronger than it actually was as they printed wildly to get their monies up. So I'm hoping that we're 20 minutes before the hour here. And I'm hoping my engineer can bring up Mr. Nader, still probably on hold through the other side of the call. I hope that's happening right now. I can't really tell. But I do say this, ladies and gentlemen. This evening we also have another interview coming up in an hour's time after this particular interview with a man named Gerald Celente. And I hope everybody does tune into the regular 2 hours after the regular time for the French Connection, so that you can hear Mr. Celente, a world famous trends analyst. He has been on many, many broadcasts and had many accurate claims over the past few decades about how and when things would happen. People have called him the Nostradamus of our times, which I don't necessarily hold that Nostradamus was any real sage, except but what they mean by that is he is very, very accurate with the things that he predicts. So let's hope everybody in the listening audience has time this evening after, of course, listening to Inayat Wadi's Intellectual Challenge, which is always a wonderful show on CII. I must say that program brings a lot of facts and a lot of truth to the listening public, and I have nothing but the highest respect for Inayat Wadi. So, still waiting for Mr. Nader. Anyway, look, guys, you know, what we were able to do today by grace of the CII management staff was to move even advertising aside for a period. We got some ads on early, and we're going to get some on late so that this can go uninterrupted for the last 20 minutes or so of. We do have Mr. Ralph Nader, and I want to bring him up right now. Ralph Nader, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's great to have you back, Ralph. You and I have done two other interviews. I'm sure you remember some years ago we spent some time on air talking about the issues. Your listening audience today is about 1.5 million South African and African continent listeners. And this is a channel that predominantly is listened to by Islam and Muslims, and I couldn't be prouder to be representing the truth and bringing them the facts as I do. Now, one of the things I wanted to speak to you about is who really is running things, Ralph Nader. You know, we're talking about I want to start off with a question about our Federal Reserve System and our Wall Street bankers and the benefits that they're taking from this bailout, and, you know, who's really key bono, who benefits? It's certainly not the American people, and it's certainly not the world economy. It looks like they are just raping the United States public purse, and by that also the Europeans are doing the very same thing. Worldwide, we're seeing private banks taking money out of the public purse. Could you speak to that?
Well, I mean, it's clear that the greed and concentrated power of these corporate bosses having pushed for deregulation years ago from Washington, allowed them to engage with other people's money, that is worker pension money, mutual funds, savers money, trillions of dollars, engage in unprecedented levels of speculative activity and risk-taking with financial instruments that were bets on bets on bets. They weren't at the level of stocks and bonds. They weren't even at the level of first-level options. They were, very complex instruments that were like credit default swaps that were just gambling. It was just gambling. And it wasn't Las Vegas. It was Wall Street. And so this lethal combination of the concentration of power and control over trillions of dollars over our government in fewer and fewer corporate executive hands, together with no federal cop on the Wall Street beat, that is, no regulation, led to this unprecedented looting and draining of trillions of dollars held by working people and savers all over the United States and in many parts of the world. This is what is called casino capitalism at its worst.
Well, you know, Ralph Nader, you're exactly right, and I have to say that there are some usual suspects that have come to light. Now, they're actually retreading one of them, who was an architect of some of the changes in the laws. The Glass-Steagall Act was actually designed by a man that became the Harvard University president, a man named Larry Summers, and we're also Mr. Rubin, and these guys are actually being retreaded back into Mr. Obama's camp. But we take a look at who's really running the finances here. Goldman Sachs, ex-CEO, Rubin was a top executive of Goldman Sachs. We're talking about here a very select group of bankers who are actually intermingling with politics, and the City of London has their own. They've got Mr. Mendelsohn coming back into the government from his perch, and it's just awful crime wave around the world by a very specific group, Mr. Nader.
Well, of course, it's bringing the world down economically, not just the United States. What's happened is that these corporate bosses in Wall Street, enriching themselves at the expense of their own company, dominating shareholders who have no power over the companies they legally own, have tanked their own companies. They brought down Citibank, they brought down Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, they brought down Merrill Lynch. This is unprecedented. They, out of their own greed, having taken tens of millions of dollars per executive and all kinds of bonuses and stock options and salaries and you name it, they jump ship into a golden lifeboat, and then their companies go to Washington for a bailout. And in Washington, they are met by former executives of those companies, like Henry Paulson, who was the CEO until 2006 of Goldman Sachs, sold out $600 million of wealth, and then went and become the Secretary of the Treasury. Now, this is called the corporate state. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt had an even stronger word for it. In 1938, he sent a message to Congress asking for an investigative commission on corporate power. And he said this: when government is controlled by private economic power, that is fascism. End quote. He uses the word, that is fascism. And that's what we have now, a union, a combination of corporate control over our federal government in Washington, D.C., so that it is a corporate government.
Yes.
And, that's the end of any kind of democracy. There's no democracy when that occurs.
Well, you know, I do have a question about the press being controlled by a group as well. You keep coming back. We keep coming back in my research. Now, I do a lot of research, Mr. Nader. I spend an inordinate amount of time looking into what really happened in history, not what they told me happened. And what I've been finding out is that our corporate structure is owned by a single group. Now, I'm going to make a caveat statement here. You know, the La Cosa Nostra is exclusively Italian, but not every Italian is a member of La Cosa Nostra. And so what you can say is that clearly what we've got in our country of people like Mr. Chertoff being a dual citizen Israeli, people like Dov Zalkind, people like Larry Summers, people like Rubin. I can go down the list. The Wormser, Faith, Libby. It just goes on and on and on. What we've got here is a group of people from a specific religious persuasion, not all in that group. Now, again, I want to be clear, not everybody in this group is guilty of crime, but everybody in the crime gang seems to have a connection to this group. And they own the media, they own Hollywood, they own the AMA, they own Wall Street is controlled by most of their interests. And they are now behind Mr. Obama. Take a look at this guy Rahm Emanuel, a dual citizen Israeli who actually inscribed himself into the Israeli military in 1991, and we end up now with the man who controls everybody who gets to see President Obama coming from this guy came from an Irgun background. What is really going on in America, Mr. Nader?
Well, corporations are able to corrupt everyone, regardless of race, color, creed, religious background, sexual preference. Greed is infinite and universal. And, in addition to the people you named, there are many people of other religious persuasions that are part of this pot of corporate control in Wall Street and Washington. There are people from all kinds of persuasions. There are Catholics, Protestants, Muslims. The issue is greed. The issue
is 2% of the American population, Ralph Nader, is from the Jewish community, but 7 out of 10 leaders in the government are from this community. That is an incredibly bizarre relationship between any statistic, any statistician who came up to you and said 2% are controlling 7 out of 10. That would make you stand up and take notice. If you said that about a Mongolians, 2% of Mongolians are running 70% of the media and 70% of the banking industry and 70% of the medical industry. This would make your hackles go up. And the simple truth of the matter is that statistically, they do overrepresent themselves by hundreds of percent, thousands of percent. And it has to be addressed. Unless we do that, we're going to find ourselves not going after the right people.
Well, last I heard, Bush was a Protestant, Cheney is a Protestant, Rumsfeld was a Protestant. There are other Catholics at the top. The issue is one of concentration of power. That's the issue. Regardless of who holds the reins at any given time, it's concentration of power. And you don't want to get into that kind of talk that you're engaged in now, because you'll divert attention from the concentration of power in the hands of fewer giant corporations who are now controlling Washington. And it doesn't matter what religious background, what ethnic background, the concentration of power is what we have to focus on. And if these people you mentioned were not in positions of power, others would be in positions of power, and they do the same thing.
I agree with that. But then when you take a look at who benefits from this invasion in Iraq, and you take a look at 9/11's information comes back. With you've got people of Zim Moving Company and movers and dancing Israelis and people like Abramoff running APEC. Jinsa. You've got the who's buying our government? I mean, we have to be realistic here. Every single candidate that gets elected in most of the two parties have to belly up to the bar when it comes to APEC and the rest of it. These people are inordinately represented in the United States, and that is a fact, and it is not one that can be debated.
Well, it's interesting that APEC and its powerful influence on U.S. policy toward Israel and supporting Israel's military occupation, repression, and colonization of Palestine and the Palestinian people doesn't even represent majority Jewish American opinion. Survey after survey shows Jewish Americans oppose AIPAC's position on Palestine, AIPAC's position on Iraq, AIPAC's position in many areas. So
I agree.
Anyway, you were going to talk about some other topics, or we're running out of time.
Well, the fact is, the last question I have for you then, I mean, when I take a look at this overall control that we see coming from I agree with you that not every person from the Jewish faith is involved in this. In fact, I say that every broadcast I make, Mr. Nader, because simply I'm hoping for support from the Jewish community to say, wait a minute here, we have to take a look at what AIPAC does. We have to take a look at their participation in 9/11 and so many other issues, and the only way we can do that is honestly. And if we take a look at things honestly, we can come up with conclusions that are not just there to fix our government, but accurate conclusions. And like I said, you know, the Jewish agency, both in Europe and America, is swinging a lot of weight around, and we have to take a look at that, because unless and until we do, we're not going to be able to get rid of the rot that's inside our nation.
Well, the key approach is to support the Israeli and Palestinian peace movements who have worked out a two-state solution and have never been given a hearing by the U.S. Congress. Never, not once.
Right.
And these peace movements represent very influential people in both Israel and Palestine, and they've never given a day of hearing, which gives you an indication of how powerful AIPAC has been, that they can stifle even Israeli voices, where it's far freer to talk about the Israeli-Palestinian crisis in the Knesset and in Israeli newspapers like Haaretz than it is in the Washington Post or in the U.S. Congress. Anyway, time's up. We have to go, and I've got another interview.
Thank you, Mr. Nader, for your time. I appreciate it very much, sir.
Okay, and when are you going to play this?
It's already on live right now. It's going to 150 countries as we speak.
Okay, are you online?
I'm also online, and it will be up online as well as worldwide. It's being broadcast by satellite as we speak to all over Africa, Middle East, and Europe, and later on will be on all over the internet as well. So
what's your website?
IamTheWitness.com. There's a whole wealth of books that you can learn about this whole conspiracy from there if you'd like.
IamTheWitness.com is your website?
It certainly is, yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Nader. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ralph, and of course, as is often the case, reluctance to actually point fingers at the right places here in some instances, in my view. Now, that is his opinion, and he's entitled to his opinion. I believe that the Hollywood connection, that the AIPAC connection, that the medical connection, that the going all the way back to the Rockefeller Institute connection to Zionism and world Zionism is pretty clear to me. I mean, the facts bear out what I say. The books, the studies, the work that I've done bears it out. He was able to go at least some part of the way with us on those facts, as he has in the past with me, gone part of the way. So, better part than all than none. And again, this interview will make it into the ears and into the eye shot of many, many people worldwide. And I couldn't be happier about that. You know, maybe like a lot of people, Mr. Nader needs to read a little more or do a little more investigating. Look into some of the documentation that has been provided and is available not only on IamTheWitness.com, but in the world at large. We have had this conspiracy building and growing globally for the last two centuries, but really taking root in the last 50 years since World War II. But, you know, a lot of people are not aware that World War I was put together and fought by and large by Zionist interests, or that the Russian implosion and a subsequent Soviet Union was born by them, or by the Second World War was. I mean, this stuff comes out when you do research. And oftentimes, if you touch this subject, your political career or even your life is shortened. I don't care what happens, and to me, I will always gravitate toward the facts and the truth. That is my promise to you. And as I go forward with my interviews and the other information I bring you on CII, that will always be the case. And I have to say that Mr. Nader did speak. speak to the problems in some ways, but when he refers to corporate anything, I find that to be Zionist-controlled industry and Zionist-controlled media and Zionist-controlled banking. And those are the facts. And the ownership and the leadership of those companies will bear me out. So, until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, and that will be in 2 hours' time after the Nayat Wadi, please tune in to the French Connection for Gerald Celente's interview with me, most important of interviews, and I hope nothing goes awry to interrupt that possibility. And but until the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please, be well.
CIINetwork.net. Now, you can tune into CII anywhere, anytime.
If a person does not listen-